There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
One more. There's the miss. There's the pop up. 131, 131. Timeout Philly. 3.5 to go. Double big for life.
That game was as drunk as most people were on St. Patrick's Day. Rockets got a 144-137 win in overtime over the bum-ass Philadelphia 76ers in a game that I'm really not sure how to feel about. I mean, to see Jabari Smith Jr. execute the perfect missed free throw for Alperen Şengün to get that offensive rebound and put back with 3 seconds to go right there, all of that, very impressive. For them to rally back from down big in both the third quarter and fourth quarter and ultimately win, at the very least, a tip of the hat for not giving up in a game where lots of Rockets players were getting frustrated and lots of Rockets players were getting ejected. Tari Eason Jr. fouls out of a game, gets ejected on the way out, gives the 76ers a little extra to work with. Fred VanVleet clearly fouled on a three-point attempt. Gets pissy, the same way I would get pissy at cherry pickers when I play pickup basketball, runs a guy down, decks him, gets a flagrant, gets ejected, gives the Sixers some more free points. And they won in spite of all of that. So the question I have for you to open things up, 713-780-3776 to call or text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Am I supposed to be happy or annoyed with last night's Rockets win over one of the worst teams in the NBA that's missing pretty much all of their good players? Shout out to Quentin Grimes, the Cougs legend, who's on a tear and had 46 points in the game for the Sixers. But, I mean, is he their best player? Because there's no Maxey. There's no Embiid. There's no Paul George. I mean, that team is missing just about everybody. And it took you to the very end of that thing to win. So that's the question to open up today's show. I find myself more annoyed with it. It was a fun game, though. So I suppose the fun nature of the game makes up a little bit, and the way that they rallied back makes up a little bit for how sloppy they were. But the two ejections, the kind of things that Ime Udoka would get pissy about, the kind of things all of us would get pissy about, they were just so stupid. They're just stupid ejections. What do you think is going to happen if you keep chirping? Even if you're right, what do you think is going to happen? The referee's going to be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I screwed that up. What do you think is going to happen, Tari Eason? And then for Fred VanVleet, I mean, come on, man. This is the kind of stuff that Draymond Green does. Oh, I'm mad. Now I'm going to deck somebody because the referee screwed up a call. And even if it was, clearly, a screwed up call, it doesn't justify it. So they played like a bunch of stupid a-holes down the stretch, and they still won because they shot, what, 41% from three? Which you like to see. This is today's NBA. You got to be able to shoot. And this team is very inconsistent from outside, so they did at the very least hit their shots. But how am I supposed to feel about this one? Sean Martinez comments on YouTube on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Rockets are going to get bounced in the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, I feel like that's about as far as it goes. Saucewalk of 7 says, don't ignore in victory what you would in defeat. Yeah, don't play like dummies. Play a little bit better defensively against a team that's missing a lot of their best players. Todd the Show says on the Twitch, the coaching was horrendous. I suppose you could make that argument. It was an inefficient game for a lot of guys. I know a lot of people looked at Fred VanVleet's numbers. Everyone's pissed at Fred VanVleet last night. I saw a lot of the people that have been calling for the Rockets to move on from Fred VanVleet throughout the season. Last night, especially that one sequence, that was their moment to pounce. And there were some moments before that where there were good reason to pounce. Jalen Green, inefficient night, but actually played well. I think that was the general consensus that we arrived at after last night's game. He was missing a lot of shots, but all those little things he didn't used to do when he was having an off night shooting, he did them. So really, I don't know where I'm supposed to be yet. I feel like it was a great win with the way that they were able to execute down the stretch, despite putting themselves in that hole single-handedly. They get the win, but at the same time, I'm annoyed by a lot of what went down. Sean Mapes behind the glass, back with us. How do you feel about this one?
We compared it, Dell and I compared it to a college football team. It's like Ohio State when they play like Purdue and they win it by a field goal.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, hey, listen, you won, but like, you're not going to sit here and do backflips about it. It was like a game they 100% deserve to lose, but they're just so much more talented than the guys on the court that they can overcome that to win. I think they showed good resilience in the third quarter, like to tie it. They're down 25 and they tied it in the course of like 7 minutes or however much it was. But this game really did just come down to like the Sixers got out to a huge lead because they just made every three-pointer and then they started missing. And then the Rockets in the third quarter made every three-pointer. And that ended up being a close game. And, they played like dummies. Luckily, the Sixers were like, watch this. We'll really, really play like dummies here. And some of it's to be expected because it's a bunch of nobodies that are playing together for the first time. So you expect a little bit of like, hey, they're just going to fall back to the pack. Like when they're up 15 in the first quarter, you're like, well, you know, they're going to slow down. Like, they're not going to score.
This team.
They're not going to score 40 points in every quarter. And they didn't.
And then the Rockets eventually found their way back into the game because of all those things. So, maybe there's an element of them overlooking the Sixers going into this game. I think it is totally fair to, the very least, to a degree,
and they're playing,
overlook this team.
They're playing, 10 straight games against below 500 teams? Like, mm-hmm. You're going to have the, sleepy whatever. And that's what I was writing this game off to at halftime. I was just like, okay, this is just the weird, shouldn't have lost this game kind of game, and in a weird way, like the fact that they did fight back to make it close, and then also weren't perfect down the stretch, kind of opens themselves up to more criticism. Where it's if they just showed up and completely got blown off the court, you'd be like, all right, whatever. This happens in the league where you just play like trash, but they didn't. They did lock in, but they only did it for a little while, and then. Ultimately, they had enough to come back. I'm not sure I really understand Ime Udoka's reasoning behind not playing Şengün for the second half. I don't really understand letting the Sixers with their G League guys play your all-star off the court because they just made shots in the first half.
Yeah, and maybe that lends itself to what they were talking about on the Twitch with the coaching side of things.
Yeah, it's just a little bit like...
Is it load management too? I mean, this is where we get into the tricky discussions with basketball where is this because of tonight's game and the way things were going, like you mentioned, with all the threes being made? Or is this one of those games where this was scheduled ahead of time? I would imagine it was the former rather than the latter.
But I was going to say, you played him the entire overtime.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like he just played him for the tip-in. Like, and then in the overtime, guess what the Sixers couldn't do?
Stop Şengün.
Stop Şengün, because they had a bunch of small guys out there.
Yeah. Strange logic, for sure. And ultimately, I keep on thinking about this. At this point in the year, and I suppose this is where I make my final decision, it was a nice win in terms of, it was entertaining. But at this point in the year, can we stop doing the dumb stuff? Fred VanVleet's a veteran. That was just a stupid play. There's no way to look at it other than that. And I get that foul call should have been made. And Rockets fans have such an aggression against referees, thanks to Bill Worrell guiding them in that way, that you probably were hyper-focused on that. And had the Rockets lost, that would be what we were talking about. But That was a stupid play by Fred VanVleet. And it was stupid by Tari Eason to chirp when he had gotten fouled out of the game. Like, what was the point of that? You're out. Yeah, just go to the bench. Sit down.
Tari Eason had an all-time, you look at the box score and you're like, this guy played well. And then if you actually watch the game, like, especially in the fourth quarter, you're like, this guy did not play well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fred foul was just like, even before he actually commits the foul, like if you just freeze frame it when the Sixer catches the ball, there's three Sixers with zero Rockets back.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Exactly.
Like, whatever you do, like, honestly, this isn't actually a rule that you should keep, but I think you deserve to get thrown out just for that. Like, just as an NBA player, like, not letting three guys get back on the other team and zero from your team. Like, exactly. someone has to get ejected.
This is the dumb stuff that I literally did once in an intramural basketball game because I saw someone cherry picking. I got mad about it, ran him down, blasted him. Somehow he throws the ball up. He gets an and one. And on top of that, they got a flagrant foul shot. So it was a 4-point play and we lost by one. And my friends didn't talk to me for a week. Do not blame them. I do not blame them. It was stupid. I lost my mind. I went Draymond mode in that moment right there. Fred did that too. They're smarter than this. Shout out to Jabari Smith Jr. We buried the lead a little bit. 30 points off the bench, 5-7 from outside. And I thought Jalen Green even though he was so awful from outside, 5-17 shots, jeez. At the same time, he did a lot of the little things that we don't typically see from him or we didn't see from him in the past when he had these off nights. But again, weird win for the Rockets. It is a win, ultimately. But are you happy about it or more annoyed by it? 713-780-3776 to call to text. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Speaking of referees, all-time referee rant over the weekend that I think is going to allow us to bring back one of our old favorite segments. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Paul, most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
It was fun to be out at Cobos yesterday, though not going to lie, on a St. Patrick's Day that I wanted to take it a little bit easy. Raul and his peer pressure. Damn. If they could set my voice back a little bit. Shot at Jameson. An Irish coffee. I just wanted a black coffee. And then a Corona premiere afterwards. I actually had to go to the doctors after the show was done because I was coughing so much. So I got a shot. Guess where they put the shot, Sean?
Arm?
Nope.
Side?
Nope.
Backside?
Backside.
Wow.
Right on the donk. Had a Band-Aid on it and everything. And on top of that, they gave me prednisone, which is steroids. They also gave me some other drug. I have no idea what it is. And they gave me some of your old school purple drink style cough scissor.
Wow. Do you have any? Have any left
I do.
Over?
It tasted really good, too. That was actually what bummed me out the most.
If you have any left over, let me know.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, yeah. I'll let you know if I can find any. We're also going to be out and about this week, Thursday. We're going to be at the Tailgate Texas Sports Bar, which is on Texas Avenue. And then Friday, we're going to be at Carbach watching the NCAA tournament with you. So make sure that you come out and join. I see that we're going to be outside on Friday. Damn it. I just saw today. Last night, I was wondering, why is this so bad? Because I know my voice is wrecked partially due to the fact that I have been having a lot of fun at the rodeo. But I also know my allergies are definitely acting up at this moment in time. I guess that the last couple of days, the oak pollen levels in town have been about 15 times what they normally are. So that might explain why I sound like I have emphysema. Anyway, some people were mad at the non-call on Fred VanVleet's three that led to him throwing a temper tantrum and getting ejected with a flagrant one last night in the Rockets' 144-137 win over the 76ers. It has me wondering about referees. We do this segment occasionally whenever referees are making themselves the star of the game. It's time for another episode of The Ref Show.
Who cares about players or the actual game?
In all my years of baseball, I've never seen such an
astute evaluation of a potentially difficult decision.
We came to watch the refs.
I am the law.
Welcome to The Ref Show.
Friday, J.B. Bickerstaff, former Houston Rockets coach, got pissed at the end of a game between the Detroit Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why did he get mad? Inconsistent whistle between two physical things, I think, was the primary reason. The Thunder, they hand check. The Pistons are maybe the most physical team in the Eastern Conference with the way that they've played this year. It's one of the reasons that they're actually pretty good out of nowhere. And that inconsistent whistle, I guess, had J.B. Bickerstaff pissed already. But then towards the end of the game, there was a reviewed call for a flagrant foul. And it was changed to a common foul. Pistons players walk to where they should typically stand during a common foul free throw attempt. And the referees wouldn't let him go for some reason. So Cade Cunningham's talking to a ref and says, hey, can't we line up? The ref stands there for a couple of moments, finally says to Cade Cunningham, like, all right, you can go. Cade Cunningham just says, GD. That's it. And the ref, as soon as he walks by, texts him up. So Cade argues some more, and he gets tossed from the game. It led to this all-time rant about the referees by the former Rockets coach, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Right? We understand that we play a style of ball that's physical. It's on the edge. Right? I coach my ass off with a passionate way. I'm into the games. Our players are into the games. We understand that. Right? But we deserve a level of respect because we're competing our tails off and bringing something positive to this league. Right? We're growing young players. Our young players are competing their tail off. The least that they could do is get the same respect that everybody else in this league gets and get refereed the same way that everybody else in this league gets refed. And enough is enough of it. And what you saw tonight was disgusting. It was a disgusting display of disrespect towards our guys and what we're trying to do.
The funny thing is, we played about the last 40 seconds of this
about
rant.
Half. A little less than half. Yeah.
The first 40 seconds, Sean, he's actually pretty measured, pretty calm.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he just starts like banging the drums like it's Air Tonight by Phil Collins. and it was a great rant, ultimately.
Yeah, I think, the OKC Thunder have been the one seed basically all year in the West. They've been the best team, if not them or the Cavs. They've been had the best record basically all year long. I think in the playoffs, people are going to really, like, actually watch OKC because, and they're not going to like it, because every 4 or 5 games, the coach of the other team, after they finish coaching against OKC, has a clip like this. If not exactly like this, like, obviously this is exceptional, but some level of, like, hey, listen, like, what the hell happened to that whistle? Like, the OKC shoots so many free throws. It's crazy.
So they get a lot of foul calls.
Yes.
SGA embellisher?
Is the head of the snake on that one.
Ooh. And again, he's going to be MVP, so I get it.
Yeah.
But no, it's annoying.
There's a little bit of, I don't know how to compare his fly. It's not like Harden-ish. It's a lot of embellishing light contact.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
And like looking for, it's a little Chris Paul-ish. And I guess they play together. But it's a lot of like looking for contact.
So he learned from the master.
Yes.
And now he has developed into his final MVP form.
Yeah, and Lou Williams, who he also played with. It's a little bit of that.
Okay, a lot of that going on. Lends itself to the question, are refs the NBA's biggest problem? Now, I really think the biggest problem is guys getting benched. Clearly that rule has had no effect, because last night in the game between the Nuggets and Warriors, the Nuggets, who still won, rested everybody for that game. And they still won because Russell Westbrook went ape bleep, but the Nuggets resting all their guys on a night where they're playing against a good team. That's BS. That's BS to me. Like, no Jokic, no Jamal Murray. And then after the game, you have Steve Kerr saying, like, oh, Steph Curry's exhausted. Like, oh, my God, these guys are such babies. So I think that's a bigger problem than the referees. I actually enjoy from time to time the referee making himself the star. Yeah. I've brought this up before. I think that in last night's game between the Rockets and the 76ers, that wasn't the case. And I'm glad the Rockets won because we would be hearing everyone bitching and moaning about the referees today when it wasn't their fault.
And when they were down, they were down like six with a minute left or whatever it was, or eight with a minute left or six with 40 seconds left. Like, the last thing I wanted to hear is to, like, hear people complain about the refs with how the Rockets played. And, like, yes, like, the Fred VanVleet flagrant two should probably have only been a flagrant one or a common foul. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Tari Eason, don't be a moron and get a technical foul after you foul out already.
Right.
Which, by the way, your foul was in the backcourt, in the bonus. So they were standing 70 feet from the basket, and now they're getting free throws. Like, just stop doing that stuff. And, yeah, against the worst team in the league, or the worst lineup in the league, at least.
Yeah.
And, yeah. The fact that people were already geared up to complain about the refs is just, like, it's why I really don't watch games, like, and scroll on Twitter, like, during breaks anymore. It's just, like, it's just going to be stupid stuff like that.
It's hard for these refs to make calls, not to make an excuse for them. I mean, they're smaller than generally the guys that they're making calls on. There's probably not enough of them on the court. Maybe that would help a little bit. And also, replay lends itself to these guys looking like complete idiots when they miss a call, which is a lot harder to see in the moment than it is on all the replays. And I think we could do with less replay. I would say, in fact, we're talking about the biggest problems of the NBA right now. Number one is players do not play in every single game, and the regular season clearly is meaningless on a grand scale.
Yeah.
Two, lots of threes. My Celtics are good at hitting threes. It's annoying. I get it. I mean, they're shooting like 70 threes a game, and that's not even an exaggeration that much. It's like generally in like the low 60s, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, I'm not a fan of the flopping and all that stuff. But I would say that the referees are maybe the fifth biggest problem with the NBA behind replay itself.
It's like with all the leagues where it's like, if there's like a bad ump, like, okay. But like for the most part, no one's like turning off the TV because of a bad strike call
right.
or a bad ball. No one's turning off the TV because of bad flags in a football game. Like, we've all seen a football game that just like, it like doesn't become literally unwatchable because we still watch it.
Yep.
But if we all say this is unwatchable because of the amount of flags and holds and they're calling ticky-tack stuff, but like no one actually stops watching these things because of how it's refereed. If it's how it's refereed in a grand scale where it's like actually you just can't do certain things anymore, like how the league was like, I honestly, like last season before they changed the rules in the middle of the season where like the flopping was like so crazy.
So bad.
But they just changed the rules in the middle of the season, and now it's better.
They should be able to change rules in the middle of the season, but if they actually make a rule where you're not supposed to rest starters and teams actually do it anyway, like ultimately, to me, bigger problem than the referees. And you saw it last night with the Nuggets game.
I mean, the funniest ones, the only team that's gotten popped for it so far is the Jazz, because they sat Lauri Markkanen, who made the All-Star team like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he qualifies for it. And they're the only team that's gotten fine for it, and I think it's like $100,000, maybe a $50,000 fine. And the first thing is like everyone's like, that's less than a 10-day contract. Like, just do it. Like, who cares? Like, if you're actually trying to sit your best players to get a better draft pick, like paying an extra $100,000 for like 2% better lottery odds, like you just should do that.
Yep.
So it's tough. I think a lot of it is just like short the season, so there's just less games. Each game means a little bit more, and so you can kind of kill a few birds with one stone there, but that's like such a big thing that they'll probably never do, or it's unlikely that they'll do. I don't know. It is still March basketball. That's a little bit
right. Exactly. That's part of it too.
Like, we shouldn't be judging the league off of March basketball.
True, but we've been saying some of these same things about the league all year.
No. I just mean like the resting stuff, where it's like that's just what guys are going to do.
Gotcha. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5. 925 713 780-3776 to call into text. And if you want to weigh in on what's the biggest problem in the NBA right now, up next, everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports including extra tidbits about Derek Stingley's contract with the Houston Texans. And did you know that baseball season is already underway? Probably didn't. Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Everything you might have missed over the weekend in the world of sports. First off, do got to remind you that you can fill out your bracket to play against us. How do you do it? All of a sudden, the copy that I had in front of me just vanished. Guess what? You just got to go to the website, okay? When you go to the website, you can fill out a bracket and compete against every single person at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Derek Stingley got that big deal. Signed yesterday, 3 years, $89 million guaranteed, $90 million total. Does anyone remember this from when LSU won the national championship in 2019?
But all hope of a Clemson comeback came to an end when LSU forced a fumble. The ball was picked up by a true freshman quarterback who had spent the game shutting down Clemson's offense, that's for sure, on his side of the field. Derek Stingley Jr.
He says Stingley so strange there. That was, at the time, what, was he the 45th president of the United States? Now the 47th president of the United States. That's President Donald J. Trump. He gave him a handshake right after that happened. A little bit later in the press conference, I think he pointed behind him at all the LSU players and said, there's a lot of money here. So, Stingley, first recognized by President Trump, now recognized by the Houston Texans. Apparently, per a chart that I guess measures defensive backs in target EPA per play, you should see where Stingley is because he's by far the best corner in the game. I mean, it's not even close. Kamari Lassiter is actually fairly close, all things considered, too. It's one of those charts that, again, I don't know how it works.
Lassiter's like the next closest guy.
Yeah. Like, if we're going from left to right as far as target percentage success rate, like Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr. are the two best in the game. And then on top of that, I guess in terms of target EPA per 100, again, I don't know what this stuff means. All I know is there's a chart up there, and like Stingley is so much better than everybody, which is pretty cool to see. And got to see him get rewarded on a deal that some now are calling team-friendly because he's still, I guess, under contract for the final 2 years of his rookie deal. So basically, even though he's getting a three-year extension for $90 million with $89 guaranteed, he's actually getting a five-year, $113 million contract where he's making $22 million a year. If you were to add up the totals of the five and average it out.
The average for what he's signed up. Yeah, so it's the extension doesn't start until after 2 years.
Correct. He has the rookie. He has the fourth year of his rookie contract, which is this year.
And then fifth year option.
Then three more years after that. This is a hell of a deal. And also, all the guaranteed money for Stingley, which is $5 million more than the next corner in terms of average annual salary a year. It's good, but it's also good for the Texans because they got this done early. They've set the market, and this contract a couple of years from now will probably look like a bargain.
I was going to say, by the time he actually plays on this contract, like he might no longer be the top of the cornerback.
I think you're right, Sean.
Like how much a cornerback is making that year.
Yeah.
He might not be the top of that. And so, yeah, this is another. I mean, I saw the Nico Collins contract go around. I don't know why, just like randomly. I guess it was after the Chase and Higgins deal.
Yes.
That people were like, can you believe that Nico Collins makes whatever $24 million? That's like 15th in the NFL.
Yep.
And that's another one where we talked about all last offseason, or not all last, until he signed it, how, hey, you're signing him after 1 year production, but if you wait, you're going to have to sign him to a top five in the league type of deal.
Right.
After Chase and Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are all getting new deals, they signed them first, and then all those guys obviously went over the top of them.
These deals are going to keep going up.
Yeah.
Do it early. You know?
If you know that this guy's good. Like,
yeah. And
there's nothing you need to see out of Derek Stingley for the next 2 years to be like, I don't know, should we pay this guy? Like, no, sign him.
Injuries are the only thing that would make you reconsider.
Yeah, but he would have to, like, tear his Achilles or something.
Right.
Because even, like, injuries, if he starts, like, missing games, but they're not, like, sapping his, like, athleticism, or he's not losing who he is as a player. But if he's, like, if he's just on the field, like, he's going to be awesome.
Re-aggravated hamstrings are the only thing I'm a little concerned about, but ultimately, yeah.
That's like a nagging thing, but like it's something where he might miss games, but when he's out there, he's going to be awesome.
It can ruin careers because I think that's what killed Will Fuller's, but you're right from
Will Fuller had 10 of them, though.
I know, but that's what I mean. Like once one happens, more can happen, none happened last year for what it's worth. More in case you missed it, things you might have missed over the weekend. Did you know baseball season began today? Did anyone know baseball season began today? The Twitchers, who are all little baseball dorks, relax. No one else knew. They did such a poor job, as they always do, of announcing that the regular season began today in Tokyo with a game between the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Both of them were out there for the Dodgers in that game, and they won. Baseball is so pathetic on this front in terms of just announcing the schedules of things, which is truly a very simple thing to do. They also didn't even have, for Fox, we're talking Fox. Fox has money. Fox didn't even send out a broadcast team. They did it remote. Oof. Pathetic.
That's bad. That's really bad.
You opened your season. It was in the middle of the night. No one knew about it. You didn't make any announcement about it. What are we doing?
Yeah. And I get wanting to play in Japan. Like, Japan is, I mean, you could argue it is the number one country for baseball, but it's at least, like, on par with the U.S. as far as, like, baseball and how much they love it.
Oh, they love it more than us, I think. Yeah.
And so I get, like, wanting to do that. But just, like, the fact you're starting the season at 5 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, and you're sending L.A. out there starting their season at 3 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Time. Like I don't know how many Dodgers fans watch this that aren't in Tokyo. It's just baseball, stay baseball kind of type of thing.
By the way, Kyle Tucker, first game with the Cubs against the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah? Playoff atmosphere, I'm sure.
0-4, so yes. Sounds about right.
The Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. Tokyo Dome, it's a jungle. It's a jungle.
Do they play another one? Do they play? They have to be out there for more than one game.
Here's the thing.
That'd be such a waste of time.
As we always know with baseball, no one knows off the top of your head.
Yeah, I have to go to the app.
I'm going to the Dodgers. So, yep, Dodgers-Cubs tomorrow at 5:10 a.m. Just a two-game series in Japan. So there you go. And then, what, they go back to spring training? It's so bizarre. Like, they play two regular season games in Japan.
Get reacclimated to the time zone.
5 in the morning. I mean, these could have been exhibition games, but these are regular season games. And then the Dodgers have, after this, I'm just counting them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think they have four. They have four spring training games left.
I think that's the biggest.
Three. My bad. I'm doing bad math.
I think that's the biggest thing for me is that like they should have been an exhibition 2 weeks ago and they would have been like fine. But the fact that like the Dodgers are 1-0 already and there's a week left of spring training for every other team, it's just like. Yeah, I mean, no other sport does this.
None. Tell everybody. And do a better job of making the announcement.
Even if you tell everybody, like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. No one's watching this.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
No one's going to get up and be like, oh, I got to watch two teams I don't care. Or maybe you're a Chicago fan because they're in the Central Time Zone. Like, how many Cubs fans are like, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I baseball makes it too easy. I don't want to dump on it all the time. I actually don't. But, I mean, you open up your season at 5 a.m. in Japan a week before the actual regular season begins.
Yeah. And I guess there's nowhere to play. Yeah. There's nowhere to... I was trying to think of, like, what other... If you want to do an international game where you could have, like... Like the hero of the country. Because that is what it is. That's why it's cooler than the NFL going to Europe. Is that it's like, no, we're going to Japan where the best player in baseball is from. And they're going to go nuts for this guy. They're going to go nuts for Otani. Even, I mean, I think the Cubs have two Japanese players too. So, like, there's a lot of Japanese players on the field. Whereas, it's like, I don't know how much German fans are like, oh, sick. We get to watch Kirk Cousins.
Yep. Mm. I don't like the, for someone's commenting, hey, listen, I mean, we have some opening day, we have some football games that are at 6 a.m. in Europe. And yeah, I hate those even more. Hate those even more.
Yeah.
Especially if they're in Germany.
I don't know how often they're at 6, though.
Mm.
They're normally at like 9 o'clock, which is much easier to watch.
Yeah. All right. In case you missed it, one last thing. West Virginia's governor, Patrick Morrisey, is so mad about the selection committee not putting West Virginia into the tournament that he did a 22-minute press conference and said, we will put actions against the selection committee. What does that mean? What are you going to do? This is such a pander job.
I know.
It's a lame pander job, too.
I was going to say, do you think when this governor, whatever, like, found out that they had been, or when someone in his aide or someone in his office found out that they had gotten left out, do you think they're like, yes, easy week at work for us?
Probably.
Because all we have to do is do the, they did us wrong. Yeah. Blah, blah. We're going to file, like, what? Are they going to let them in the tournament? Like,
no.
UNC plays tonight. That's the team that got in over you. Like, there's nothing that's going to come of this. All you get to do is make flyers and give a speech. Like, congrats. Congrats, you earned your check for this week by doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Is this going to get him more votes?
Like, West Virginia, like, that state runs itself. There's nothing really. There's no problems there.
Cannibalism, but.
No, all their citizens are great.
It's definitely a very well-run state. So I'm glad he's prioritizing what matters. Also, North Carolina Bubba Cunningham got a six-figure bonus for UNC making the tournament. That he's the committee chair of the selection committee. So, obviously, nothing to see here. And, of course, as you heard him do on Sunday, after Seth Davis gave him the biggest softball question ever, he just deferred to the other guy. I wasn't in the room. Okay, dude. But everybody else in the room probably knew that you'd make a six-figure bonus if they put you in the tournament.
It's also like you're not in the room to talk about UNC, but... You immediately walk back in the room after they're done talking about him. Like, it is like... There's obviously conflict of interest there.
He's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, and that is, in case you missed it, every single Tuesday at 12:30, everything you might have missed in the weekend in sports. Tonight, the return of a Houston sports hero. Who? Stay put and find out. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Bracket Madness is back. Thanks to Golden Nugget Lake Charles, East River 9. Good spot to watch tournament games, East River 9. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort. ESPN975.com. Go to the promotions tab to sign up and join the competition. You can compete for a perfect bracket, but there's a lot of prizes, too, for Two Creeks Crossing Resort. I heard a lot about them recently. Got to get out there, I guess. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. Gooder sunglasses, which apparently I'm doing a photo shoot for next week. Be helpful because I've got a little sty action going on in addition to all these allergies. Your boy's playing hurt. These last couple of weeks have essentially been my Michael Jordan flu season. Michael Jordan, could he do a solo radio show with allergies and a sty in his eye while also going to a lot of rodeo concert events? I don't know.
Yeah, no. After this is the type of thing where after the season, we're going to be like, you know, Paul, you know what Paul was playing through?
A lot.
Immediate off-season surgery. Like, you know, that's why, you know, maybe the performance dipped a little bit. But if you knew how the injections he was taking before the game.
Literally in my ass. Right. All up in my ass. Didn't even get a colonoscopy. And they didn't, you know, they just put it on the side. It was an interesting experience. My primary care provider, the doctor, didn't speak very good English, and I was like, okay, it might be time to change my primary care provider. She's like, she said something, and I'm like, what? And she's like, we're going to put the shot here, and I'm saying, wait, what? And then she just pointed at her butt, and she said, yeah, and I said, okay, great. But anyway, Nico's True Looks and More. So make sure you're going to ESPN975.com. The promotions tab, sign up and join the competition with so many prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, we're watching March Madness out and about this coming week. Carbach on Friday, and on Thursday, we're also going to be out and about. Thursday, we'll be at the Tailgate Texas Sports Bar and Patio, 2401 Texas Avenue. Boom! Lance McCullers is back on the mound for the Astros tonight. You can even watch the game. It's against the Nationals, and you're going to be able to see Lance McCullers pitch. So all those people who are saying he's Bigfoot, all those people who are saying, like Tiffany Gomez, the crazy Dallas 7 that got kicked off of a plane because she lost her mind and made terroristic threats, that MF-er is not real. All those people saying that about Lance McCullers, you're about to be exposed tonight. And you're going to be so happy to see him back out there. All you ungrateful people who constantly dog the man for being injured, putting his body on the line for the city of Houston. I mean, he might already be buried in the city of Houston if not for his striding to get back out there as much as he possibly can. He's been trying to get back out there. You know, it's just been a long journey back.
It has been a long journey. But you can, not only is he returning tonight, or 5 o'clock, you can actually watch this game on Space City Home Network. So you won't have to depend on letters from West Palm Beach.
Right.
With from Brian McTaggart,
Chandler Rome, Matt Kawahara. Yep. But by the way, the volume of letters home have decreased, as if the wars in West Palm Beach have led to difficulties relaying the message home, or there's just not much to go on.
I was going to say, or the war is winding down, which luckily for us, it is.
But when the war is winding down, sometimes that's the most dangerous time.
Is that true?
Right. Well, if you've ever seen the movie All Quiet on the Western Front.
No, I have not seen that.
Awesome, by the way, on Netflix. Maybe the best World War I movie I've ever seen, and that includes 1917. I think it was better. The book was very good. I grew up reading that one, but right? As they think the war is about to end, some psycho German guy is like, no, we're going on a charge. And then in the middle of the charge, spoiler alert, but let's just say things don't go according to plan. And in the middle of the charge, a whistle is blown and the war just ends because there's been a ceasefire that's been reached. So all these guys who are like shooting each other and stabbing each other with bayonets are now like, oh, why do we do all this for? So what if that's the Astros in spring training right now? I don't know. But Lance McCullers back on the mound tonight. Also of note, I know some people are a little bit annoyed with the Skull and Bones Letterman Jacket Society of the Houston Astros. With Jim Crane and how meddlesome he was during the time the Astros didn't have a general manager. For Jeff Bagwell, who started a movement to look at the back of guys' baseball cards. Well, Bagwell, as part of this Astros Letterman Jacket Skull and Bone Society, when asked Monday if he expects Cam Smith to make the opening day roster, declined to give an opinion, but instead offered a challenge. Quote, what I've told Cam Smith is, make us do something with you, he told Cron before the Jim Crane Celebrity Pro-Am at Memorial Park in Houston, continued Bagwell. And like a lot of our guys, Cam is starting to make us do something. All right. which is, again, fly by the seat of their pants and put them in my field. But, hey, they're doing something.
Do something.
And Kyle Tucker, as we mentioned in the last segment, 0-for-4 with the Chicago Cubs today.
Did nothing.
Cam Smith, doing something.
Do something. Hall of Fame advice.
We got to do something. We got to do something. You know, Infant Sorrow, the song from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I forgot what song or what movie that was from.
Yeah, it's a great song.
We got to do something.
Cam Smith is doing something, I guess. And Kyle Tucker, not so much. Astros fleece the Cubs? Huh? I think they did.
Yeah, look at their spring training stats.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm not going to look up Kyle Tucker's stats, but I doubt that they're as good as Cam Smith's are, because Cam Smith's are unrealistically good.
Unsustainably good, some would say.
Very unsustainably good.
Yeah, no. I think Jeff Bagwell, I like Jeff Bagwell in this role of former player.
Challenging.
Around the team, challenging guys like, hey, listen. Yeah, giving him a little pep talks at spring training. I don't need him signing first basemen that are 38 years old. That's what I don't need. I don't need him doing that.
I also don't need him gaslighting us while this first baseman that's 7,000 years old, give or take. You know, you got to do the conversion, American years to Latin American player years. It's actually more like a 1.07 conversion rate. And like with dogs, it's like 7, you know?
Yeah.
He should have done that with Jose Abreu, perhaps. I don't know. I know that sounds a little xenophobic. I'm just saying, like, Jose Abreu might not be the age that he presented himself, and things are falling off a cliff. But Cam Smith, he's young, and he's American.
Yeah.
America. Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube, at ESPN Houston, on Twitch, at ESPN 975. Coming up next, a Houston star athlete who's left us in the last couple of weeks had some very interesting comments on why things did not go wrong. Excuse me, on why things did not go right for his team last year. And you should be thankful he's gone based off of some other comments he made. I'll share them with you on the other side. Stay put. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, The Paul Gallant Show.
Fill out your brackets in ESPN Houston's Bracket Madness Contest. Sign up now at ESPN975.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.